This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Y'all, this really, I welcome, it's Eric Erickson here, Open Line Friday, 877-973-7425. No, I really can't make this up. A Silver Lake neighborhood councilman who now goes by the name Maybe, M-A-E-B-E, Maybe, A middle initial, girl last name, Maybe a girl. A drag queen on the Silver Lake Neighborhood Council got a resolution passed to remove no U-turn signs because they were homophobic. And the Silver Lake Neighborhood Council in Los Angeles has taken down the no U-turn signs because of homophobia. They're traffic signs, but just so we're clear, the traffic signs telling people you can't make a U-turn here, they've been taken down as homophobic. You can't make this stuff up. It is insanity. Now, your outrage of the day comes courtesy of the Hamas newspaper called the Washington Post, mouthpiece of Hamas in the United States. By the way, if you subscribe to the show notes, you'd see this. It's the very first link. This is the headline at the Hamas Post. Donald Trump, potential future oldest president, turned 78. President Biden has faced more skepticism in the campaign from voters over his health and acuity poll show. But Trump's septuagenarian status has also drawn notice from some voters and experts on aging. The Hamas Post has avoided grappling with Joe Biden's age, but suddenly wants to make Donald Trump's age an issue. The same Hamas Post has this story, headline, Red States Strike Deal to Show Controversial Conservative Videos in Schools. A privately funded effort to use disputed videos to teach conservative values in public schools is gaining traction as Louisiana becomes the sixth state to endorse educational materials produced by Prager University. PragerU is not a university, but a nonprofit that produces short videos that push patriotism and conservative views of history, race, sex, and gender, among other topics. Since last November, Florida, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, Montana, and Arizona have all announced partnerships with PragerU, under which the nonprofit's lessons become state-sanctioned optional teaching materials for public schools. PragerU is neither paying nor receiving money from state partners, the nonprofit and state officials said. The company and its supporters hail the moves as countering what they call left-leaning ideas in education. The half-dozen partner states, say PragerU Chief Executive Marissa Street, are just the beginning. We're pursuing every state in America, she said. Opponents say material produced by PragerU amount to right-wing indoctrination. PragerU materials are hyper-partisan to the point of propaganda, inaccurate and incredibly substandard, said Marissa Sol Garcia, president of the Arizona Education Association, a statewide teachers group. Arizona launched the PragerU partnership in January. PragerU, founded in 2009 by conservative talk show host Dennis Prager and screenwriter Alan Estrin, began by producing videos aimed at college students and expanded its offerings in 2021 to reach younger students. Its website says the goal is to counter the dominant left-wing ideology in culture, media, and education by promoting American values. Two of the most watched videos on PragerU's Kids channel include a lesson on student loans and a cartoon-style retelling of the biblical story of David and Goliath that instructs children, when God is on your side, you have nothing to fear. Some of PragerU's videos have drawn criticism for factual inaccuracies, especially for a fictionalized animated clip that portrays famed abolitionist Frederick Douglass defending the nation's founding father's support of slavery. By the way, the Frederick Douglass had many letters recognizing the original sin in the country, but still says America was worth it. That's what PragerU highlights. I wanted to read you all of that to make a very basic point, which they finally get to at the bottom. The New York Times has done with the 1619 Project. And the Washington Post never complained and only now mentions it in a blurb that they say the introduction of PragerU to public school classrooms is a much-needed course correction after years in which schools adopted implicitly or explicitly left-leaning lessons based on materials like the New York Times 1619 Project, and then went on to claim that the founders in the country founded the United States to preserve slavery as the British Empire was abandoning slavery. The problem here is absolutely factual history. The British did not ban slavery or the slave trade until well after the founding of the United States, and several of the founding colonies had banned slavery in the early 1700s before the founding. And even Thomas Jefferson, writing in 1775 and 1776, insisted the nation would have to ban slavery, and the first draft of the Declaration of Independence actually called for an eradication of slavery. The 1619 Project is a fantasy and a lie all rolled into one and packaged as an educational curricula produced by the New York Times and sold to blue states to indoctrinate children to hate the United States, declare it illegitimate, and embrace the idea that it's systemically racist. It is a propagandistic, functional retelling of American history to advance a left-wing postmodern Marxist agenda. And Nicole Hannah-Jones is nothing but a liar, and they put her in charge. And now they're outraged that the right is producing PragerU videos. And Hillsdale College, by the way, Hillsdale College has a curriculum for classical education schools. Florida has embraced it at the state level, and others. States have done that as well. They're outraged about that one, too. It's not in the Washington Post story, but Hillsdale College has done this. And by the way, it's a great educational curriculum for classical education standards. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with classical education, it's what my kids are in. You have a logic school, a rhetoric school, your lower and your upper school, and the logic school, the elementary school. You memorize the facts. You memorize lots and lots of facts, and you study history, and you learn the basics of math, and you learn the facts in science and social studies about the country. And then you get into middle and high school, and you start synthesizing and analyzing those facts to build comprehension and logic and reason. And it works very well. You learn Latin in elementary school so that you can better understand language and the structure of language. They actually still make the kids diagram sentences in most classical schools. And then our kids has a Christian component where they have to take systematic theology, and they've got to study the book of Romans and stuff like that. What we found, so our daughter decided not to go to Georgia Tech for a lot of reasons. A lot of it, the woke agenda she encountered while she was there with programs. And it's kind of funny. I encounter people at Georgia Tech, and they're like, oh, they say this doesn't happen on campus. Like, my daughter literally was taken into a room that had LGBTQ safe space over the door and talked about with pronouns in the engineering department she was interested in. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. I was in the meeting with the woman who wore the Ask Me About My Pronouns button. But my kid attended a summer school program, and she was really had a lot of anxiety about doing it because she was our kids' classical Christian education school does not have a lot of money. The computers are outdated. They do not have the wealth of resources that a lot of public or private schools have, and even some public schools. We don't have a lot of wealthy families in the school. My wife and I give as much as we can, but I mean, you got people who are like scraping pennies together to try to get their kids in the school. The teachers don't even have health insurance. They don't make enough money, and the school didn't bring in enough to cover health insurance for the teachers. It really is a labor of love. That's how poor the school is, but it's a brilliant education, and we found that out when my daughter went to this program at Georgia Tech, and she was with kids from magnet schools and STEM schools and rich private schools from New England and Chicago and Puerto Rico. And she was the only kid who could stand up and give a presentation, like the only kid who could engage with the questions asked by the faculty, because that was part of the component of a classical education school, is she had to be able to stand up and use the Socratic method and be argued and give presentations and be challenged on the presentation in the middle of the presentation, to be pulled off her train of thought, to answer questions and learn how to get back to her train of thought. So it was all part of classical education. She literally was the only kid who could do it, and she had to be the one who stood up and delivered all the presentations. Every single presentation for the entire thing, she was the one who had to do it. And what was so great as a parent, I gotta say, is that she was mad at us, my wife and me. She was mad at us for making her go to the school, because she would come home and say, my friends, they go to this particular charter school, and they've got bleeding edge computers, and they've got this robotics class, and they've got all this other stuff, and yes, there's a lot of homework, but they have all of these things, and all of these nice things, and all these amazing classrooms, and all of these supplies, and they use tablets instead of textbooks, and on and on. And then she goes to Georgia Tech, and here are all these kids from all these fancy schools with all the lavish equipment, and she was the only one who could stand up and talk to the adults. Suddenly put her mind at ease. The left has given up on education in public schools and essentially moved to indoctrination. They're using the 1619 Project and the like. Well, guess what? The right can play that game too. We do have federalism in this country. There are red states and blue states, Republican-leaning states, Democratic-leaning states. If the Democrats can do it and they set the precedent with the 1619 Project, don't be surprised when the conservative states respond with PragerU and Hillsdale. The precedent matters, and the Democrats set the precedent, and the Republicans are taking advantage of it. It's notable that the Hamas Post is only now concerned about this trend. Only because six states have embraced PragerU are they upset. Florida, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, Montana, Arizona, and Louisiana. Six Republican states. It's an option. It's not mandatory. Teachers can use it if they want in the classroom. They don't have to pay for it. They get access to it. And by the way, if you've ever looked at PragerU stuff, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a whole lot of good stuff at PragerU. I don't recommend all of it, but a lot of it is good stuff. It's educational. It's not actually indoctrination. It's what happens when you indoctrinate kids on actual education and facts about American history and the truth, as opposed to the 1619 Project, which tried to reimagine the American founding as something bad. When you accept the goodness of America and the necessity of the project of the American experiment, you teach kids differently than if you think it was all bad and never should have happened. The 1619 Project vilifies the American founding, and PragerU does not. That's the difference. If the left can do it with 1619, we can do it with PragerU on the right, and we should be doing it. In fact, more states should be embracing the agenda from PragerU.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show. Can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Greetings. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, and it is an open line Friday. To the phones we go. Donna, you're going to be up next. Welcome. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I'm getting by. It's hot. It's hot.
Yeah, it
and
is.
I'm in Georgia, so I know you're hot, too, probably where you are. I got a China question. Of course, there has to be at least one. This is just preys on my mind, and I think about it a lot. Nobody seems to be able to answer the question. We know so very much of our products that are sold in the United States are either made in China or they're being distributed to us by Chinese companies. China is pushing boundaries, and it's getting bolder. When war is declared between the United States and China, what happens to all of those imported products or Chinese manufactured products? Do they just stop coming to us? Are we going to import products from China even if we're at war with China? How does that, what does that
look yeah,
like?
All that goes away. We go to war with China, they stop sending us stuff.
So some stores will be 70 or 80% empty because most of their inventory comes from Chinese manufacturers.
And a lot of our medicines are manufactured in China, too. We won't get those.
Well, even vitamin D. If you try to buy vitamin D, it's almost impossible to find. Tinfoil will disappear. I mean, you know, it's all these batteries will go away, light bulbs will go away. Are the Chinese counting on our dependency on their products to prevent us from taking aggressive moves towards China or declaring war on China? Are the Chinese, did the Chinese think they've got us?
Oh, yeah, they absolutely do.
And
not only do they think that they've got us, but they also believe that we are too entangled in their economy to ever walk away, and they've worked very hard to put devices in this country. So one of the things people need to understand, if you have a product made in China outside of us, an American company, if you have, so like Apple's products are made in China, but they're made in a controlled environment, so we know this isn't so. But if you buy something from Huawei, you buy something from DJI, I've got a drone from DJI. All Chinese businesses have been mobilized into the Chinese military's operations, and their devices may be spying on us. They may be set with triggers to turn off if we go to war, so your product becomes useless. They can spy on you through your home camera system, things like that. We've got a massive problem that a lot of people don't realize. Now, Donna, I got to let you go there. Thanks for the call. But it's a huge problem. We can distinguish a company like Apple that makes its stuff in China because of how much control it has over the supply chain. But a company like DJI, which is a Chinese-based company, or look at what they do with TikTok through TikTok. We've got huge national security issues there. Which is one reason we need to divest from China. We can't bring it all back here, but we can send it to allies that can also produce things cheaply. You know, it's a huge concern between bank collapses with hundreds more teetering on the brink and regulators fighting an unwinnable war. It seems like they are. This factors into 22-year high interest rates. I know Swiss America has been the trusted leader in precious metals for 40 years, and I know they've been warning people about the secret war on cash for some time. If you're interested in safeguarding your hard-earned assets from this secret war, you need to listen, get this critical free report. It's rated better A+ by the Better Business Bureau, Swiss America is. They can educate you on how you can protect your assets in their shocking free report, The Secret War on Cash. I watched The Secret War on Cash on YouTube, and it was fascinating. By the way, you can go to SwissAmerica.com/YouTube and check out their YouTube channel and see The Secret War on Cash report. The report takes less than 15 minutes to read. It can save your retirement. It can save your finances. Get your free copy by calling or texting 800-289-2646. All Out War on Cash is growing daily. Read The Secret War on Cash report for free. Message and data rates may apply. 800-289-2646.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I am going to go to Mike. Rarely does Charlie tell me I have to take a call, but Mike, you blessedly are one of the ones he says I must take your phone call. So don't screw up.
Oh, I won't screw up.
What's going on?
Well, you just had the caller on that was talking about the potential war between China and the United States and how that would affect the goods that we import from them. And I just wanted to make sure that everyone knows that they can kind of relax on that front. China does not want to go to war with the United States. They're heavily invested into our system. The reason I say this, and the reason I can say this with confidence, is I happen to work as an analyst in the field that looks at that type of thing. geopolitics, energy, trade, and how that affects, you know, future outcomes. Mm-hmm. China has such a huge amount of their money invested into our system that they do not want it disrupted. But what they're doing is they're pushing as many of the boundaries as they can to gain a foothold in the South China Sea for the purposes of energy. Off the coast of Vietnam, there's a lot of oil fields that are currently in dispute right now, territorially speaking. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big portion of it. The other part of that is that when we think of potential, how the United States would go to fight such a war, the first thing that they would do is impose sanctions on China. The same sanctions that we tried to impose on Russia. But Russia makes its own energy. Russia makes its own food. Any of those same sanctions that were imposed on China would shut China's economy down within a month. So I want everyone to relax in terms of fear in going to war with China. It probably will not happen.
Well, okay, so I got to tell you, I actually think we will, but it won't be conventional. I do think that China wants to be the global superpower, not a rival to ours. But I think it's going to be done in not a standard military way. I do think one thing that we should think about as a country is instead of onshoring so much of our development, and there's this movement on the right now. I just think instead of imposing tariffs and things like that and reshoring a lot of our manufacturing, we should go to our allies in third world countries and say, hey, we're going to help get our supply chains up in your country instead of China, and ally shore instead of it. Argentina, I think, is a fantastic example of this. They've now got Milei down there. He wants investment. It's in our hemisphere. Go start building and manufacturing. They've got a very smart workforce there. Start working there. And I think we do, for our own strategic interest, need to divest from China. And I don't know that we've got the capacity or will to do it on either side of the aisle right now.
Well, there's certainly there's a big part of that that is absolutely true. But there are several companies that are trying to do exactly that right now. And actually, one of our biggest allies is Mexico. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of labor that is being imported from China into Mexico in terms of goods and labor, that kind of thing. And the reason China is in such trouble is largely because of their demographics. It is the oldest. They're the oldest aging country on the planet, and they're also the country with the most number of geopolitical barriers, i.e. they're going through an energy crisis, they're going through a food crisis, they're going through a water crisis, all at the same time. And when you compound all of that together, it has been speculated that that would be a country that could potentially fail before the year 2030.
Okay, I'm glad you say this, because when I get pushed on this issue, and occasionally do, I'm in the camp that says China is not rising. China is actually already on the decline. And a lot of the intellectual elite in Washington, they don't recognize it because they've so intuited that China's time is coming that they don't realize China's already on the decline. Because one, it's a communist nation, and the history of communist nations is that whistleblowers die, so they never blow the whistle on failure. So we're seeing this, like the Chinese aircraft carrier that literally split in half. Or their new destroyer that caught fire, that they've got, or their nuclear missiles, the fuel turned out to be water, not actually fuel. They've got all these problems because their nation declined, which is why I think Xi wants to invade China, is to stir up nationalist fervor to distract from all the problems at home.
Right. Great point too. In terms of the difference in the size of the navies, they have three carriers, and none of them are nuclear capable. So when you compare that to the United States, it says, oh, we've got 12 of them, and they're all nuclear capable, And each one of ours carries 5 to 7 times the firepower of a Chinese carrier. That tells you enough about how a war like that would potentially go, which is why China does not want to go to war. They're just trying to scratch out what they can before they collapse in the next 10 years, 15 years.
So, all right, Mike, anyway, listener Noah emailed us. Listener Noah emailed us and said that you're spot on. China's more dependent on us, and I'm spot on. We need to go to Latin America. So we've won over the callers together, the listeners together, Mike. So I appreciate your phone call a ton.
Hey, one last thing, if I can.
As long as you're not recommending more motorcycle stuff to my wife like that caller earlier,
my wife spending like money. I am a co-host on a podcast that, if it's okay, can I get a plug?
Sure.
Okay. For everyone who's watching, I'm anonymous, so you won't know who this is, but if you follow the Don't Unfriend Me show on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, I think it's also on Spreely TV and Wimkin TV, it is an excellent podcast. I'm a co-host, and we tackle these types of subjects all the time.
Don't Unfriend Me.
We're on 7 o'clock every day of the week.
All right, man. Listen,
7 p.m. Sorry.
I will check that out, Mike. That's useful information. Thanks so much. That's highly informative. And my goodness, I mean, I am literally watching emails roll in that you have put some people's mind at ease. So good for you. Now, JT, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show, JT.
Good afternoon, Eric. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Glad that it's Friday. And Catherine Kamala is at Hartsville Jackson, so she should be out of here. I think
I'm sorry. I mentioned Kamala. I'm supposed to go. Sorry.
I know. Drive us all nuts. I know one of your callers said something. I agree with him. You know, a lot of things. What I like about your show, you bring stories that it seems like the mainstream media doesn't bring up or want to touch. And when you and I talked a week ago today, I mean, you were very passionate, and you got me fired up. And of course, immigration. And I was telling your call screener. We had those, 8 suspected men with possible ISIS ties, and I believe they were Tajiki nationals, and they were arrested in New York, L.A., my hometown, of course, of Philadelphia. And I'm like, my goodness, thank God that they were arrested, because they could have pulled off a, God forbid, a terrorist attack. Like you said last week, you know, God forbid we get hit, because the border with, you know, with it's not even about Afghanistan or Iran anymore. They're coming from everywhere. So anybody could be a terrorist. You know, and like I said, I'm still caught up on the guy in New York who said he was with Hezbollah and was going to go to New York and make a bomb. I'm like, my God, thank God the Border Patrol in Arizona caught him. So they're slipping through the cracks. So I think the gotaways are a big problem. And, you know, with Biden's stunt with the immigration reversal or whatever, like you said, and like I've heard other people say, it really hasn't made any much difference. You know, the cartels are kind of, you know, figuring out, I guess, how to filter people in and all that, you know, all that garbage. But it's, you know, we're still at risk. We're still at risk. And
not only are we still at risk. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you have the Olympics coming up in France next month, and it's like, you would think most terrorists are licking their chops. God forbid they try something. So, you know, we have to be on guard. And like I heard last week, you know, with Christopher Wray mentioning, No one is really listening, at least from the Biden administration. It's almost like they're just, it's water off their back, you know. You screw up the border, you put us at risk, you're not doing anything about it.
You're not. And in fact, ISIS has already given France warnings that they're planning something. And in this country, we had the 8 guys the other day. Yeah, the ISIS literally produced a video warning France to take cover, and they had the Olympic rings in the video. It was wild. It came out like 2 weeks ago, and hardly anybody even mentioned it. Just kind of shrugged their shoulders. Now, JT, I want to play some audio for you. I'm sorry, you were talking right as I was letting you go. Listen to this though, JT. Listen to this. This is from today, everybody. This is from today.
Prosecutors told a judge that the arrests prevented a, quote, potential disaster, not just for New Yorkers, but the entire country. Police say 27-year-old Judd Sanson appeared nervous when they pulled him over. They say he told them he was visiting his uncle. NYPD officers say the weapons they found in the car include a pistol, a machete, a switchblade, knives, a hatchet, and a makeshift axe.
We really don't know where he was going. We only know that he was a few blocks from the airport. We only know that he was driving with a license plate that was blacked out.
Officers also say they found 179 rounds of ammo, including four high-capacity magazines and a baton with phrases written on it. Left me no choice. You gonna learn today, and in Arabic, asking God for forgiveness. Queens District Attorney Melinda Katz says that's why she charged him with intending to use the gun.
All of these expressions added together with all of these weapons, all of this ammunition, everything that was in that car, we're not taking any chances.
Investigators are especially concerned by the MTA vest found in the car and the bulletproof vest with an NYPD patch inside a pouch.
Arrests of this magnitude, the amount of ammunition, NYPD paraphernalia in the car, was significant.
Transit uniforms that can be used almost anywhere in our subway system or in our transit system.
Prosecutors say Sanson provided an address in Jamaica, Queens, where police say Sanson's father later gave them permission for a search. They say they found an empty firearm lockbox with a serial number that doesn't match the gun they found, so they're still searching for that weapon. Katz did not rule out the possibility of more charges.
At the moment, we don't have terrorism charges, but we are still continuing the investigation.
That's in New York today, people. Today, there are now late afternoon suspicions this guy was tied into an anti-Zionist movement.
This happened today in the United States of America, and yesterday, eight people from Tajikistan who crossed the border illegally were arrested after online chatter about making bombs in the United States. And last week, a guy in Arizona was arrested tied to Hezbollah, who said he intended to go to New York and blow the place up. We got problems with our border, and Biden is in denial. Americans for Prosperity Foundation has been taking people to the border. This is really a perfect segue because they've been taking people down there to show them the humanitarian costs, the ecological toil, the things that are happening down there. And then Americans for Prosperity actually has a roadmap of common sense solutions the nation can deploy to secure the border. And they're common sense conservative solutions like, for example, build a wall, hire more Border Patrol, process amnesty requests faster, hire more judges to do it. In areas where a wall is not effective, use technology. All of these things are possible. All these things should be done. Americans for Prosperity is mobilizing people around the country to tell Congress, these are easy lifts. We don't need a comprehensive plan. Do these things. Secure the border. Look at what's happening. You can see it for yourself. Americans for Prosperity has set up a website where you can go to and find out more. SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. The website, again, is SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. It's brought to you by Americans for Prosperity. They're a do tank, not a think tank. They go across the country doing the business of the conservative movement, reminding Americans about the common sense conservative solutions that can put us back on the right track. Go to SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com today.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. It's too late to call in. I want to say something right now, heartfelt. I know. I'll try not to get sappy. Dads matter. Father's Day is this weekend. We live in a world that has devalued fathers. As we live in a society that says men and women are interchangeable, moms can be dads and dads can be moms, that the gender role is somehow a social construct, we have degraded and devalued the role of fathers in people's lives. And I say this every year, and I know it's going to happen again this year because it happens every year. I spend time on Mother's Day talking about mothers. And I never, ever get an email from a single father furious at me for talking about mothers on Mother's Day. But every year I have done this, I will get an email from an angry woman who says I have devalued her by talking about fathers on Father's Day because she's a single mother doing it both. Today's not about you. And I don't mean that insultingly. Dads matter. There are situations where there are no fathers. Very often, it's the father abandoned the family, not the mother. The father's walked away. And I want you dads to know that when you walk away from your family, you are causing lifetimes of trauma on the kids you're abandoning. You matter. Society may tell you you don't matter. You may decide you don't matter, but you do. There's a growing body of research out there that girls who have good relationships with their biological father are less likely to be pregnant as a teen before marriage. Boys who have their father in the home are more than three times as likely to go to college than jail. And boys who do not have a father in the home are actually more likely to go to jail than to college. Dads matter. I always like to point out, you know, I think it's a great story, whether you believe it or not, the story of Noah in Genesis, that Noah finds favor in God's eyes, and so his sons and their wives are spared the flood. The sons were worthless. They didn't find favor in God's eyes. Noah did, but the whole family was protected from the flood because of the father. The fathers matter, right out of the gate in the Bible. But we see it in history as well. Fathers matter, and having a relationship with your kids matters. And if you've screwed up your relationship with your kids, there is always time, as long as you're breathing, to try to patch that up. But also, it's not just biological dads. Stepdads, adopted fathers, you matter too. Kids want a mom and a dad. And the wild, weird society we live in today has degraded parents. They're interchangeable. They're unnecessary. They can be swapped out. But you matter. Kids want someone to look up to and make them feel safe. Kids want that. They need that. They want a mom. They want a dad. Some kids don't have a father, and they're looking for someone to fill the role. There are a lot of fathers who have passed psychological trauma onto their kids because they weren't dads. They were just a donor. But dads matter. If you can build a relationship with your kid, it's worth doing it. I hope all of you who are dads have a fantastic Father's Day this weekend. I intend to sleep late. That's my Father's Day gift. And then my wife has instructed me I'm to go to Barnsley Gardens without the family and hit golf balls some weekend soon. That'll be my Father's Day present, is to for me to abandon my family and just go hit golf balls for a weekend and smoke cigars. That's what I'll do, but not this weekend. I'll be with my family. I hope you're with yours wherever you are. I hope you have a wonderful Father's Day weekend in general, and I'll be back in Georgia next week. Talk to you guys then.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.